last month or so, I've shared two words about grace. The first one was the river of grace. The second one was the cross or the crossing of grace. And now I'm continuing with the outflow of grace. And I'm trusting that I will continue next week on the same topic. I believe it's like two parts. So God willing, I don't want to make a promise because you never know. But I'm trusting that I will continue next week about this, the outflow of grace. So let me just recap for some of us about grace. Okay, definition of grace. It is unmerited or undeserved, say undeserved, undeserved, divine assistance given humans for their regeneration or sanctification. It's empowerment from within. There's something about grace. It's the most beautiful word in the English language. Being gracious towards somebody. Grace. It's beautiful. And I believe there's something in the scripture, something in the word that speaks of grace. And unfortunately, I believe God's church, definitely I don't have it. I don't have grips upon this concept, grace. But God is doing something in me the past month. I'm so excited. I am really, I've got an expectation of what God is going to do in us, in this church, and in His body. And I shared this word that I, or this picture that I received of a man standing on the one side of a chasm, and there's this flimsy little bridge over to the other side. The other side is the kingdom of God. But on this side, this man was had all this baggage upon his shoulders, and he wanted to go over the bridge, but he couldn't because of all this baggage. And then I shared of how God, through His grace, the cross or the crossing of grace through the cross, crosses the chasm, takes off that baggage and leads us into the kingdom of God. It is glorious. But I shared about how we try to build our own bridges with straw. So instead of taking the bridge that God has given us, we try building a bridge with our own straws. Like the kilometer chasm, far chasm, building with little straws. God, I went to church today. There's a straw. God, I gave money today. Ooh, there's another straw. Awesome. And so you build your straws, your bridge, but it never actually gets where it is supposed to get you where you want to go. Okay, so that's through, we're trying to do it through our own works. Ephesians 2, verse 8 to 9. For by grace you have been saved. Okay, Ephesians 2, verses 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works. Say, not of works. This is really important. This is the key. You will miss my whole message if you don't get it. It's not by works, lest anyone should boast. And I summarize it and basically said, you and I, we need grace. We need lots of grace. Yet there is nothing that you and I can do to deserve it or to earn it. Okay? That's really important to understand. Okay, now let's move on to today's topic. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 9 to 10. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 9 to 10. The Apostle Paul says, for I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecute the church of God. You see, now many of us do that same thing. Before I continue reading, we also, when we pray, we say, God, I'm not worthy because, and we fill in the blank, because, do you know my background? Whew. God, I'm not worthy because, oh, I mean, you can fill in those things. I messed up. I missed it there. I really do not deserve it. And the Apostle Paul was there. He realized he's not worthy. But that didn't hold him back. He says, I'm not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Yet I was undeserving, but God gave me a gift. And I'm so aware that I do not deserve it. And His grace toward me was not in vain. I love that. His grace toward me, His gift towards me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. I worked more than they all. Huh? Works? What's this, Paul? You just said it's a gift. Why are you laboring? But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was within me. That's beautiful. He didn't receive the grace in vain. It's like the Apostle Paul was, when he was Saul, he was lost. He was on the other side of this chasm, and he found the bridge. The bridge sort of ran him over, if we think about it. He wasn't looking for the bridge, but the bridge ran over him, and Jesus appeared to him, and he was struck down. And so in the end, he crossed over that bridge. He received the gift of grace. He realized he wasn't worthy, but he went over. But then he didn't do this interesting thing. He didn't turn around and say, "Yay, I am going to heaven." And then he kicked the bridge, and the bridge fell down. And he said, "Yay, you go to hell, you people. Let's go. Kingdom of God, I'm coming. Let's go to heaven." No, he didn't just receive the grace of God for himself. He didn't just allow that gift to bless him. Something happened. He shared it. He shared that grace more than anybody else, probably in the history of the world. He shared it. There wasn't receiving of grace. There was an outflow. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. An outflow of grace, not works, not works. I'll explain as we continue. But it says there that it was the grace of God within him. It wasn't by his own ability, it was by the grace of God that he was able to do this. Okay, so let's look at the journey of faith. What is faith? So many people struggle, and there's different angles to look at it. But I believe that faith is a journey. It starts off with a promise. A promise. Then you believe it. And then you respond accordingly to your faith. And then you continue repeating that until breakthrough. Until breakthrough. Until breakthrough. You see, so often we just think faith is like in the sky, pie in the sky. You know, you believe something or whatever. But it's a journey that we need to walk through. So I want to hold this image before you. Imagine yourself in a rowboat. Okay. Rowboat. You're on the sea. And the promise is your destination. You receive the promise. Ah, see it. Yes. Baby, let's go. And now, that way. And then, because it's backwards rowing. Okay. So you see it. You have to look every now and again. But now you decide, I believe it. I want to go. I want that. I want to go for that promise. And so you start rowing. What is that rowing? It is obedience. It is responding according to your belief. I want to go somewhere. I'm in a rowboat, so if I want to get there, I need to row. Okay, take the person next to you's hand. Okay, and row. We are rowing, rowing, rowing. Wonderful. One more time. Let's row. We are rowing, we are rowing, we are rowing. Yes, I know you're enjoying it. Yeah, you're enjoying it. Come on. We are rowing. I want you to get it. Okay, great. You got it? We row. Okay, but often we mix this up. We think this is works. I am now earning my relationship with God if I just row hard enough. You know, it's not like you're in the boat and every row you say, oh, I hope God loves me. I'm going to row harder, then he's going to love me more. And so you row harder because you want him to love you. Nonsense. You already believe that he has died for you. You have a relationship with him. And because you are full of faith and confidence, you row. You go for your destination because you know God is with you. Okay, so we're going to talk through these things. Yeah, but often happens, you know, we believe, some of us, we just believe. We do nothing. Okay, well, you're going to go nowhere. The winds of the life will come and blow you off course. In any case, because you believed. Believing per se doesn't work. Okay, so then some of us, we believe. And then we row. Twice. We say, no, this is too hard. You give up. This thing doesn't work. I haven't got my breakthrough. I'm not at my destination yet. What is this Christian thing? It doesn't work. Oh, many people are there. Many people are there. So they just give up. Let the waves and things blow them around. Okay, so you've got the rowing thing. Okay, now, over this holidays, I just felt God drop this into my heart. Just saying, you have need of endurance. Especially in our modern day culture, everything is quick. You know, I hear a message on my marriage on Sunday. If it's not sorted out by Tuesday, it doesn't work. No, you got the message, the promise on Sunday. 2 years from now, if nothing's happened, well, maybe this thing doesn't work. Maybe you should hold on longer. Okay? Endurance. Hebrews 10, verses 36. It says, for you have need of endurance. So that after, say after. After. After you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. That's it. You see the rowboat. You're seeing it. I'm seeing it. The rowboat. Okay? After you've done the will of God, you may receive it. You have need of endurance. You need to row and row and row. I know everybody's already tired. I mean, Tiens tells me he's running up Table Mountain. And this same sort of thing, Tiens. You need to continue. Okay. So what is the word endurance? It means hopeful fortitude that actively resists weariness and defeat. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to go. I'm going to row. I've got my promise. I'm going to row. Hebrews 10, verses 38 to 39. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, gives up, stops rowing, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we, hallelujah, the good news, the promise of God. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition. Huh? We are not of those who draw back, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. We row until breakthrough. We underestimate the importance and the power of perseverance. Pray until breakthrough. You know, in these scriptures, Luke 18, verses 1, it says, then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Men always ought to pray and not lose heart. So we pray on Monday nights, we pray on Wednesday mornings, we pray other days of the week as well. Any day of the week, we pray. And if we don't see the promise this week, we continue. If we don't see it next week, we continue. If we don't see it next month, we continue. But we will see if we continue. Luke 18, verse 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Parable thingy there. Ignore that. Next one. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? You know, who's the faith people? They are the rowers who continue. They continue. Maybe they're not at their destination yet, but they are continuing and continuing and continuing. Okay, so the promises of God and faith. Let's look at that. Faith is a journey, a rowboat journey. Its fulfillment is only at the end. You need to reach the end. Now, the promises of God. Question, do you have a promise from God? Do you have a promise? Do you have a dream in your heart? Do you have something that says destination that way? You know, you don't need something profound necessarily. You just need scripture. Just scripture. God is my refuge and my strength. God is my fortress. God is my shepherd. God is faithful on this walk that I'm taking. My God is with me. But you need the promises of God. There cannot be real faith without the promises of God. That's why I'm so blessed the last few weeks, how God has been starting to speak through his people. words coming forth, pictures, visions coming forth. Those are the promises of God. You need to write them down, take them for yourself, and go with it. In the sea of the storms of this life, you know, rowboat storms of this life, the promises of God are what keeps you afloat and keeps you from sinking down into depression. It's a fact. It's a fact. The promises of God is what keep you from sinking down in depression when it's getting difficult, when it's getting hard and the storms are coming from every side. It doesn't look as if God exists. Then there's a promise that will keep you afloat. You need a promise. And then the promise helps you to direct, get your direction right, and you row. And you row. The promises of God, people, we need it. On this journey, there are many intermediate victories. You might row over a surfer's head. Revenge to all the surfers. Kobe is a grappie. Okay. But there are intermediate victories. Maybe a shark then. You row over a shark and you clap him on the corp and you go on. You have now won. Intermediate victory. But there's still the big promise. You still need to go for that promise. Okay? So continue. There are seasons that we need to press through until completion. And there's a lifetime that we need to complete, to finish, to press to the very end. Our brand of Christianity is not known for its endurance. If there's not a vibe going, yeah, we lose. Where's God? You know? No. Continue. The ultimate fulfillment of the promises, the ultimate fulfillment is only in heaven for a Christian. That is the ultimate. There are other victories. You can go read Hebrews 11:39. It speaks of some obtained their promises in this life and some obtained their promises only in heaven. So hold on to the promises of God, the destination. Keep it before you. Hebrews 11 verse 26. It says, for he looked to the reward. What does it mean? It means to look away from everything else in order to look intently on one object. Take your promise, even if it's just scripture. I mean, that's where we start, scripture. Pray, confess it, pray over it, believe it, act accordingly, go for it, you know? There's so much that we can trust God for. Are you trusting God for something? Yeah, some people get a clearer picture of what God has called them to do. Ronald Bunker gets a word, 1 million people will be saved in one meeting. And that is fulfilled in the year 2000. He got the promise 20 years before, 1980, around there. The promise. Some of us get other details. It says, build an orphanage. Others get a dream or a word, do business for Jesus. Others get words and say, let your light shine for me at your workplace. Others get words that say, God will heal lives through you. Others get an impression that just says that Jesus will shine through you. Christ will be seen in you. His name will be glorified. You don't know anything more, but you row in that direction. So you serve and you help and you give because you on your way somewhere, going somewhere. Oh, there's so many things. I don't need details. I just need God be glorified. Let's go for it. Let's go for it. Faith and the promises of God are inextricably linked. You can't separate them. You can't have faith without the promise. You need a promise. Abraham believed God and was accounted to him. That's how it was with Abraham. Faith in the promises of God leads to action. So if you have a promise, and if you believe the promise, you will act. Otherwise, there's no faith. Hebrews 11, you can go read through that. Many pieces. But it comes down to this. It says, by faith, he acted. By faith, he spoke. By faith, he blessed. Faith leads to action. The outflow of grace. The outflow of grace. A lack of obedience, a lack of action reveals a lack of faith. Okay, now a little becomes a lot. Many of us, we struggle with these things because we look at the people around us, Or maybe you look at me and you say, oh, but Andre is doing all this. You know, I can't do that. I've got so little. Or you look at other Christians out there and you say, I've got nothing to give. I've got this little bit. Many people are there. And I can do the same. I can look at us as a church and say, God, we're only so few. How can we make a difference in this world if we are only a few? And I felt the Lord so spoke to my heart about this. But a small river of grace, small river, could become a deluge of grace, a mighty river of grace through what? Consistent faith and obedience. Consistent faith and obedience. Consistent faith and obedience. Consistent faith and obedience. Because what happens is you have the promise and now you believe the promise and now what? You only have a little bit of faith. A little bit of faith. And now you believe it, and now you, because you believe it, I'm going to step out. And so you obey. There's an awesome thing that happens at that very moment. The moment you step out, a miracle happens. Your faith increases. Your faith increases. Your faith grows. And so you step out again and again. And then your faith increases and then you step out again. And again, there's a process. James 2 verses 17 speaks of this. It says, thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Okay? So the end of your faith would be to do nothing. Your faith would die. And we see that in the lives of people. They don't go to church anymore. They don't pray anymore. Don't read their Bibles anymore. There's no action. There's no stepping out. Verse 22, do you see that faith was working together with his works? And work, and by works, faith was made perfect. Faith was made complete. Faith was made mature as the works continued, the rowing continued. As I said, so often we think that the little we have is not sufficient to make a difference. You know, you and your little rowboat in the middle of the sea. What's the point? But what happens is, this is wonderful. The guys will love this. You start off like biceps like me. Small. And then you row. And then a miracle happens. Grace is extended to you as you act. And then you see what is happening. I cannot believe it. It is my dream come true. I can no longer get my microphone close to my mouth because my biceps are so big. I am Arnold Schwarzenegger. Okay, I thought that was funny. Okay, but now you know one of my dreams. My wife says it's ugly, okay, so I'm not going to go there. But as you're rowing, grace increases. I've seen this. As you start rowing, grace increases, your strength becomes more. You don't know why. You didn't see it grow, but suddenly there's more grace, more strength. Grace is the strength to row. And as you continue rowing, something awesome happens. Suddenly there appears this motorboat thingy, this engine next to you, and it's going. And suddenly you pick up speed. Suddenly this little rowboat becomes a speedboat, and the speedboat becomes a battleship. Or a big lifeboat or whatever. You see, we men, we dream lots, okay? So, but you need to see it. It starts small. It starts insignificantly. It starts with our little bit. Applying the little bit of grace you have, and God will increase it. 1 Peter 4, verse 10. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. Who? Only some people. Or who? Sorry, I need some help here. That's it. Everyone. Each one has received a gift. Minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And you see this recurring theme in the Bible. Little people starting off with little grace. ending up with much grace. You can go read this stewardship parable, Matthew 25, verse 29. It says, therefore, to everyone who has, I put in the brackets there, and uses it faithfully, that's what you can deduce from the parable, more will be given. Woo-hoo. More will be given. Lord, I'm feeling a bit min vandag. Use what you have. I'll give you more. More will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, because he didn't use it faithfully, even what he has will be taken away. Even what he has will be taken away. So, do you have one word? One word. Run with it. Do you have one revelation about who Jesus is? Run with it. If you have one little insy bitsy gifting, run with it. Go for it. And you will see it will increase. The key to the much is in applying the little. But so many Christians are still waiting for something to come to them that they already have. May that sink in. I really feel that's what the Lord spoke to my heart. So many Christians are still waiting for something to fall out of the sky when they already have what they need to act the next step of obedience. And as they act, God will give them more. As they step out, God will give them more. As they step out, God will give them more. I'm so excited because I have so little. But I'm going to work this, my little. Lord, I'm going to work it. I'm going to give my little bit. I'm going to give it to the max. To the max, Lord. As we move, we receive more. The Lord will provide as we step out in faith. A transformation happens, I said. As you use in your rowboat your little bit, you become Arnold. Come on. So what do you have in your hand? Guys, ladies, what do you have in your hand? Exodus 4 verse 2. Roselda has quibbers in her hands. I see that. All the loved ones. How many days? 40 days. Tomorrow. Wow. Amazing. To marriage wedding, for those who don't know. Exodus 4 verse 2. God appears to Moses and he speaks to Moses and he says to him, so the Lord said to him, Moses, what is in your hand? What is that in your hand, Moses? He said, a rod. A rod. God told him, use it, Moses. God extended grace to that rod that was in his hands. He has probably carried that silly old rod around with him for 40 years. A staff with a sheep. But when God got a hold of that little staff and he threw it down, there was grace. It became the snake. It became like a powerful weapon in the hands of God. God has always used the natural gifts and personalities of ordinary people and then done extraordinary things with them. The difference is grace. Okay, question. I'm excited. Question time. Any ordinary person in the house? Hands up. Okay, let me try that again. Any ordinary people in the house, please raise your hand. Okay, there's a few. Come on. This dog. Otherwise, we have to pray for you if you think you're that special. Okay. As I said, the key to the much grace in the previous messages is the key is to know how little you deserve it. If you think you deserve it, you're not going to get it. The saints through the ages have always been very much aware of their sinfulness and their humanity. Go read the history books. They weren't the I'm so special people. Okay, just to qualify that. Exodus 4 verse 12. It says there, now therefore, go. There's God speaking to Moses. He says, now therefore, go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. Moses, you have your promise. God, I only have a staff. The whole of the Egyptian armies. God, I have nothing. Moses, go. You go read it. He got quite angry because he didn't want to go. Yes, Moses, you don't understand everything. You don't know me. You don't know my glory. Nobody's ever revealed it to you. But as you step out in obedience to the promise I've given to you, I will give you more grace. I will give you more revelation. I will give you more understanding. The times that I learn the most is when I tell somebody else about Jesus. Or I share something that God has given me. The moment I share, it increases in my life. Okay, I'm almost finished. In the week, somebody had a picture while we were praying. He saw a warrior with a spear. Again, the men will like this. Sorry, ladies. A warrior with a spear. And he had a target. And he went and he threw the spear. And he missed the target. And then he took up the spear again and he threw again and he missed the target. But every time he threw it, it came closer to the target. You know, but what happens with us? We come to the conclusion, I am a warrior. I take spear. Ho ho. I throw spear. Ho. I miss. I missed. I missed. I missed. That was my acting for the day. I missed. And so we give up. And so we give up. Anybody can relate to that. Yes, Lord, that's me. I've done that. Deans knows. I sat across that man, across a coffee table, drinking coffee. I was crying. I was down, man, because I missed it. I missed the mark. But a warrior gets up and he tries again. Huh? How's about it? Any warriors who have stopped throwing their spear, take it up again and go for it. Throw it. You miss, you go again. You see, that's what church is about. You see, church is a place where grace is present. Do you know what that means? There's space for failure. You can mess up so badly, I will still like you. Guaranteed. Because God gives us grace to love one another despite our mess ups. Church is the place to take your spear, spiritually speaking, and throw it. Take your gifting and practice it. The cell group, the small group. Sometimes we pray together and then you might feel a picture or a word or something. Share it. Go for it. But live. Don't hold back. You are a warrior and we don't give up. As I said, consistent faith. Consistent faith. Faith and obedience. Faith and obedience. Rowing, rowing, rowing. Spear. Okay, you got all the pictures there. Okay, I just want to end off with. I'm going to continue the next week. So I just want to give you the one aspect. To have the grace of God flow. As I'm talking about an outflow of grace. You need to start using your little bit. But there's this one challenge. I'm not going to go into all the scriptures. I just want to read the one, the first one. Hebrews 12, verse 1. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You see, what happens is we get into our rowboat. We get into our rowboat and there are all these stones in the rowboat and it's weighing us down. And next week I'll share more about the details of this. But we're going to need to deal with those stones. And it's not big sins. You'll be surprised what the issues actually are. You'll really be surprised what the things are that keeps us from a place where we can row that jolly little boat with no problems. The stones, the weights, need to deal with it. Okay, but tonight I just want to summarize. For an outflow of grace, you need to take your little bit and start applying it. You need to take a promise that God has given you, believe it, hold on to it, and then you start rowing, rowing, and rowing. And you will see the little grace becomes a deluge of grace, mind-boggling grace, as you start to run this road. So I want to encourage you today. Are you running with the grace that God has given to you? Or are you still waiting for something to happen? Some miracle, some angel to appear to you? Please stand with me. And I'm going to pray. Just close our eyes. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you for each person that is here. We thank you, Lord, for the grace that you've given to us, undeserved favor, empowerment to live this life to the glory of your name. And God, I pray for those whose rowboats are sinking, those whose rowboats are totally off track, those who've stopped rowing, given up. Lord, I pray you give them new hope, new courage, and new strength.